Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Zayin of Sefer Hosea, the seventh chapter of the book of Hosea. And this will continue our recognition of how difficult it can be to get people to do tshuva in the way that's needed, because part of that is getting them to abandon their framework for how they've interpreted events until now. So that is an extremely difficult task, and that is part of what Hosea is addressing in this perek. So in Pasuk Aleph, he says, Kiraf Eli Yisrael, Hashem says, now the JPS has it, when I would heal Israel, meaning when I would want to heal Israel, the Jewish people. So, and that's the Rashi has it too, Kesheni Chafetz Lehoshiam. So what happens is, V'nigla Avon Ephraim V'rot Shamron Kifalu Shaker V'ganav Yavo Pashat Kedud Vachutz. So it's when I would want to heal the Yisrael, probably the northern kingdom. So the guilt of Ephraim reveals itself and all the evil that they've done, because Palu Shaka, they've done lying or treachery or not truthfully. They've dealt with each other, Veganav Yavo, and they steal from each other. Thieves break in, Pashad Kedud Bachutz, and troops of robbers are abroad. Meaning, so the Rashi has it as, Niglu Lifanai, that I'm coming to save the Jewish people, the Northern Kingdom, Kifalu Tamid Sheker Veganavim, V'af Pushtim L'Astem Et Abriot, that they've always been like this in terms of theft. Theft as in burglary, where you break in secret, and also as in armed robbery. And that's always been true of them. So that image of, it became clear to me that it's always been true of them, that's sort of as if Hashem thought the problem was, and maybe if Hashem thought it in some sense, something the Northern Kingdom thinks that the problem is idol worship only, or the problem is that they avoid the Beit HaMikdash, or the problem is they don't do righteousness and justice in their courts. But then it turns out that embedded in who they've been all the way back, in the way Rashi's reading it, they have always been involved in cheating, stealing, lying, and those are much more deeply embedded and are not necessarily nearly as simple as easy to get rid of. While we're discussing this, it's going to be a hard parak in terms of, not hard in terms of the reading and the translating of it, but hard in terms of trying to grapple with the challenge, the spiritual challenges that it makes for us. I always point out that the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet says that Amar Reish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makeh Yisrael, that God doesn't send the punishment or time of trouble to the Jewish people, Elim Kim Bori Lehem Rifu'ah Techila, unless he sends them the Rifu'ah first. So that's going to be true of our parak, and our parak is cited as the proof of it, because it's Kiraf Eli Yisrael. So Reish Lakish is reading it as, when I've already established the eventual refuah for the Jewish people, v'niglah avon Ephraim, that's when I begin to grapple with the sins of Ephraim and finding ways to punish them, to bring them around, to understand what they've done wrong. So that's, even though there's a punishment discussed here, the point of the comment is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't enter into punishment and those areas of life without having set up ahead of time the way out of it and the salvation from it. Now that's also an interesting contrast, and this is not our parak's topic, but it's the topic of the Gemara. It's an interesting contrast to the non-Jewish nations, and I think many people might think that the Gemara would say non-Jewish nations, there's no interest in them whatsoever, but that's not what Reish Lakish says. Reish Lakish says, "Avol Amato Olam, the other nations of the world, Makeotan, Ve'achar Kach Borei Lehem Rifuah." He provides the punishment and then provides the healing, and then a pasuk from Yeshayahu, in terms of Mitzrayim, Nagaf Hashem Mitzrayim, Nagof Virafo. I think Nagof Virafo. That Hashem will strike them and then heal them. Meaning that the differentiation is not between whether Hashem cares to heal or doesn't care to heal. All of Hashem's creatures Hashem chooses to heal after having struck them. The only question is that it's a marker, or the only aspect is that it's a marker of Hashem's relationship with us, Hashem's interaction or feelings for us, as it were, that in our case, in the case of the Jewish people, the awareness of the need for rifuah comes before the makah is ever given. But that's not our full topic. Our full topic is that Hashem comes to start to heal them, and then all of a sudden there's all these sins. Pasuk bed v'chavich uval yamru lil vavam kol ra'atam zacharti atas sevavum ma'alvehem neged panai hayu. And they never say to themselves, uval yamru lil vavam, they don't ever tell themselves that Hashem knows all the things that they do. Rashi says that all the things that they do are written ketuvah lezikaron lefanai, are written in a book before me. It's a metaphorical book, but it's a book nonetheless, and that's the way the Radak has it as well. They don't think to themselves that that there's all recorded, and then when their troubles come to them, when they get the punishment, the Radak says, then they'll understand that I knew everything, and I'm giving back their proper compensation, their proper recompense, their proper punishment or reward for all that they've done. So that's a very challenging thing in general. I think, in my experience, very few people bear with them a continuing tally and a continuing awareness of the many, many ways in which they failed. They sort of forgive that. They say, yeah, well, people are people, and people fail, and what are you going to do? And it's almost useless or worthless, or what's the value in rehashing and bringing up again and again the things that one has done wrong. So if one has repented of those things and has put them aside and hasn't returned to them and is honestly trying to be better, so then it is true that in our faith, that's what we believe, that Hashem lets those things fall away and they don't remain continually accusing fingers pointed at this person. Although it is still true that we think, we generally pass them, it's a machlokas rishonim, but we generally assume v'chatatina g'itamid means even if you've done tshuva for a sin, you should still remember the sin and keep it in mind, and maybe even say vidui. That's a machlokas rishonim, we have to say vidui about it. But the idea that we should carry with us the sense of having been sinners, even on those things that we haven't gone back to for years and years and years, so that's an important piece of what seems to be missing here for Ephraim. They don't even notice that Hashem knows about it, and then when they get punished, so then they understand that it was always neged Hashem's panim, but then it's a shock to them, it's a shock to their system. You see this with people, you can see it today a lot with people. If people have times of trouble come to them, they never say to themselves, I have various flaws, I have various things that are easily plausible for what Hashem will be punishing for. People walk around feeling they're fine, they're good, they're all fine, everything's wonderful, everything, they are tzaddikim as much as they could be. They're a person like every other person, therefore they deserve a good life. So that, I think, is part of what's going to happen to Ephraim in this nevuah. Pasuk gimel b'ra'atam yisamechu melech v'chach hasheihem sarim. Then they, in their evil, what they do is they go and they join a melech. So the Radak says it's that they joined Yeravam in making those zagalim that we've spoken about a lot. This is Hoshea's time. Something that I have not necessarily stressed in all the chapters as much as we should is that Hoshea is very early on. I said it at the beginning, but to remember, Hoshea is very early on in the process of Nevi'im coming and rebuking the Jewish people. This is before the Northern Kingdom has gone into exile. It's 150, almost probably 160, 170 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And so a lot of what's on his mind is still the fact the Northern Kingdom has allowed itself to maintain itself as separate from the Southern Kingdom. So when it says that they joined a king and they made a king happy, it's taken by Radak as a reference to Yeravam. They joined him in worshipping these Agalim and in denying God, because when they see the Agalim, they say, Ela Elohecha Yisrael, they say, this is the God, O Jewish people, that you really have to worship, that you should really care about worshipping. So that is a huge blow that retains itself in the consciousness and in the nevuot that we're talking about here as being a huge issue for them, that they allow themselves to join in Yeravam. It also emphasizes, even in a time period, so we have seen, we've sort of gone back and forth in this various chapters as to whether the leadership is hugely at fault for the direction the people take because the people just follow their leaders, or, and that's going to come up in our parak as well, or do the people bear some culpability for the following? So I think in this pasuk, it's blaming the people for having followed their leaders. They let the king be happy by following him. So we've seen before that Yeravam placed guardsmen on the roads to stop people from going to the Beit HaMikdash. That might not have been the people's fault because they couldn't manage to get around. But having to join in wrong worship, so that's not so clear that it was so forced. Pasuk Dalet Kulam Min Afim Kemo Tanur Bo Eira Meofe Yishbot Meir Milush Batzek Adchum Tzato. So Kulam Min Afim means they all, Min Afim generally means some kind of a sexual immorality or impropriety. They commit adultery, but And that's giving in to a physical desire. It's a physical desire, so the Radak says it's a physical desire that burns like a baker burns a fire in order to bake a bread, right? And we're going to compare this sin now to the baking of bread. So it's kemotanur borer meofe, yishbot meir, they stop from kneading this dough until, only into the point that it leavens, that it becomes chametz, that it is fully ready, and then they put it in the oven and they get it ready. In other words, that that they stoke the fires of their improper desires and lusts, and they only stop when they've already reached full fruition, and then they get ready to indulge in these physical desires. Pasuk Hey Yom Malkeinu Hechelu Hechelu Sarim Chamat Miyayin Mashach Yado Et Lo Tzim. So these actions of theirs, of giving into these desires and lusts of theirs, is a sentence that penetrates not only into the personal area, but also into the governmental realm. So Yom Malkeinu, the Radak reads as the day in which they would anoint the king and make a king. And so the Sarim would start drinking wine with him, and then the king would join with these Lotzitzim. So the Radak points out the job of a king is really supposed to be thinking about governmental administration issues, and how to run the country better, and really in a Jewish king, how to make the people better of the Hashem, how to advance the cause of Torah and of mitzvot and of serving God and all those guys. That's what the king is supposed to do. So when the Sarim come and they entice him and they lead him into instead being involved primarily or largely with the drinking of wine and enjoying a physical pleasure, so they are leading him astray in this from his task. So that's something that, again, we're blaming here now. I think we're going to get around to blaming the leadership, but right now we're blaming partially the people and then partially the lower leadership who are leading the higher leadership astray. And that's, again, the kind of thing that you can see, I think, in our times very much so, meaning if you think about the presidency in America today and the extent to which the presidency has to be involved in the ceremonial and the popular and making parties or making state dinners and things that are just about enjoying time together and relaxing and having pleasurable interactions and eating together and drinking together and making parties together. So that, I think, that the Navi is pointing out, that is really, there's some role to it, perhaps, in cementing good relationships, and there are various things, but it is also a drain on the energies of the person who's supposed to be running the country. It's a drain on their focus on the things that they're supposed to be focusing on, and it can have negative consequences for everybody involved. And that is what Hosea is right here bemoaning. Pasuk Vav, ki kerevu katanur libam be'arbam kol ha'layla yashin ufehem boker hu vo'er ke'esh lehava. Before I actually, let me just re-translate the pasuk. They approached, kerevu katanur libam be'arbam, they approached their ambush with their hearts like an oven, meaning that they've got to keep in mind the metaphor of they're baking their evil. So they get ready, they put their hearts ready for their evil things, like b'maseh o'reiv shalem, in their ambushing of others, like an oven that has been fully prepared by heating it up. Right, in our times, we turn on an oven and it warms up quickly, but in those days, heating an oven was a big event. So the Radak also says it like that. They would prepare their thoughts towards evil and their want, desire to steal from others and to ambush others and take from others, because that's one of the central complaints or issues here, is their lack of financial and economic justice to each other. So they set up these traps, and they do it like a oven that burns the whole night and is being warmed up the whole night, so that in the morning when you want to bake the bread, it's fully hot and fully ready. And so too, that's what they're doing with their hearts and their intellects, is that they have prepared the way, and then they wait and let it sort of ferment or let it sort of heat up until they're ready to fully put their plan into action, as we'll see in the coming psukim. But I just wanted to point out in Pasuk Hey, when it said Mashach Yadoet Lotzim, when it was upset about the fact that the king would turn away from the advice of good advisors and instead join Lotzim. So that is a verse that's used by the Gemara in Sotanef in Bet Amid Aleph for a memra that was very popular among Rishonim, meaning it gets quoted in many different contexts by many different Rishonim. Amar of Yirmiya Bar Abba, Arbaki Tot Ein Mekablot Pnei Shechina. There are four groups who don't get to see the divine presence. Exactly how you'd find don't get to see is an interesting one, but what we seem to be saying is that independent of a specific sin, and the specific sin either might not be there at all, or even if it's there, it might be what we would think of as a fairly minimal sin, being a part of this kind of group of people has such damage independent of its halachic ramifications. So, for example, one place that I saw, I think perhaps the first place that I saw, but it struck me then, is that Rabbi Yonah has a long discussion of these four kitot at the end of the third shar of Shari Tshuva, at the end of the third chelek, third part of Shari Tshuva. What's interesting about that is that the structure of that third section of Shari Tshuva is he goes through all the mitzvah by order of severity. And then at the end, he tacks on this very long discussion of these, which don't fit into any of those categories of severity because they don't necessarily confront Isurim prohibitions right, of a Torah level or of a Rabbanan level, and yet Rabbi Yonah spends a long time discussing that. So those four kitot are akat leitzim, those who, leitzim often means those who mock, but here it probably means those who just waste time, who just have fun doing nothing, and they just spend their time in leisure activities, which I think is very striking for our world today, or very appropriate to think about and to consider that just the fact that you're part of Lotzitzim, that you're part of Lotzitzim, those who, so in Rabbi Yonah, he reads it as those who also mock things or don't care to participate in making the world better. And there's no specific issur, there's no specific prohibition they're violating, but it's that they don't have a productive view of the way the world could be. That is the Kat Leitzim, and that's our pasuk. So the other three kitot, I won't give you the pasukim, but that's kitot chanefim, those who flatter others, those who are willing to ignore deep flaws and deep problems for the sake of getting ahead and for the sake of being on good terms, even with Rishaim, those are evildoers. Kat Shakarim, those who lie, and lying is a very expansive category. And then Kat Mesaper Lashon Hara, and those who libel, L-I-B-E-L, and gossip about others, that's the four. So each one of these, some have Isurim Doraisa involved and some do not, but they as Kitot are a problem because of their damage on human society and the way the world works. And that's what it's saying. And one of those kitot is what we're seeing here in our parak, is those who are late seem, they fit right into our parak, because the point of the parak is to grapple with, to notice, to see the strength of their physical desires, not even necessarily for things that are particularly problematic. They may be problematic. Some of them are. So here in our pasuk Vav and Zion that we're about to get to, we're talking about people who are going to ambush people are going to steal from other people or take from other people, not by, which in a wrongful way. So that's actual prohibitions. But if you think just about in Pasuk Hey, it was more a question of that you're making a party for the king's inauguration, for the king's coronation. We would do it in America for a president's inauguration. And you bring out a lot of wine, you spend your time drinking wine and just getting drunk together. No specific issue against getting drunk on a particular occasion, but it adjusts and shifts priorities and focus from what it should be, the focus of a government on the things the government's supposed to do, into the focus on just having a good time together and partying and enjoying oneself. Pasuk Zayin gives sort of the outcome of some of what's going on with that. Kulam yichamu katanur v'achlu et shov tehem, they get as hot as an oven, and then they eat up their judges. Kol malchehem nafalu ein kori v'hem elai, and then all of their kings fall, and there's nobody among them who calls out to Hashem. So Rashi thinks it means that they killed the Sanhedrin because they were trying to rebuke them. And then Mashach Yado. We'll get to it. But that they stopped their judges from judging them. Right? So the Radak thinks that it wasn't only that they stopped the judges, but then he thinks the judges also have a problem. He raises a very interesting problem, a very interesting challenge for people living in a society like this. He says, because there's so many people doing evil, you can't have a justice system because you can't stop all of the evildoers. So that's sort of understandable. And then he says, "Vigam yachanif harishem," you also have to suck up to in some way. You have to flatter, you have to live with the evildoers because you can't tell them all that they're doing wrong because you can't live that way. That's another striking issue, right? And you see this, I've seen this certainly in Jewish politics, but I think in politics in general, is that you have people who want to do some piece of good, although many other areas they're bad, and people say, well, I have to take their money for this or for this or for this because it's good, valuable money. Why wouldn't I take the money? And they don't admonish them for the things they're doing wrong because they see that these people are wealthy, these people are powerful, and these people are getting along. So that's a very challenging thing. At what point do you say, well, I can't cooperate with you anymore, I'm not supposed to cooperate with you anymore? Well, and the Radak goes on and he says, and we punish these judges, or Hashem will punish these judges, because they don't remove themselves from the system of justice completely. What do? They execute justice for those occasions that they can. So that sounds like a reasonable strategy. It sounds like a strategy that I think has been recommended in many occasions, right? If you find yourself in a system that's broken, you do the best you can within the system, and you have to ignore the parts that you can't control. So here the Radak at least seems to be thinking that's part of what Hashem is blaming these Shoftim for, that they're part of the system. They're still judging. So the answer would be, powerful rich guy who steals millions of dollars at a time is brought into court. Judge doesn't feel capable of admonishing him, so he sort of lets it go, lets it slide because he has to, and he flatters the guy a little bit. A small little businessman who stole $20,000 or who misdid a contract, him I have every right to execute justice on, and so I will. So that's wrong. It's unfair. If the system's broken, then to beat up on the little guy because you're able to is wrong, and that's what the Radak seems to understand Hosea as saying. And then on Kolmachehem, Nafalu in Korivahem Eli, he says that if you notice in the Northern Kingdom, and we pointed this out in the book of Malachim, the Northern Kingdom, so the kings used to kill each other. You'd have a few generations of one family, and then some other guy would come along, and he would decide that it was time for his family to become the kings. He would wipe out entirely that previous family, and then he would become king, and then the cycle would repeat itself. So the Radak points out that that's what being put here, Malachim, Kol Malachim, Malachim Nafalu, and then in Korivahem Eli, you might have thought, he said, that they would eventually realize what's going on, and they would turn back to Hashem. And they would say, Hashem, please help us get away from this cycle. Please help us understand what we're supposed to do. Please help us understand how we're supposed to handle this. And that doesn't happen. In Korbahem, Eli, they never get to that point. Pasukhet, Ephraim, Ba'amimu Yidbulal. That Ephraim turns to these other nations and mixes in with them. Ephraim, Haya, Uga, Bali, Hafucha. It's like a cake that you can't turn it, meaning to bake a cake fully, I think. You have to turn it around, you have to turn it over. So the Radak says, and if you don't turn it over, then it gets burned. And so too, if you have an idea and you get stuck with an idea and you think this is the only way that I can leave and that I can make it work, then you can get burned. And what's being said here about Ephraim is exactly that. Ephraim, according to Radak at least, Ephraim was a separate nation. Hashem created as a separate nation. And instead, they decided, they insisted on mixing themselves in with the idol worshipping other nations of their time, and they get into their heads. That's the way to do it. So that again is an easily applicable notion to our times, the question of the extent to which Jews absorb ideas from those around them and become so fixated on the truth of those ideas they cannot imagine other things being true. And I've had this on occasion with people who are very, very learned, and their reactions to things in Torah that are clear in Torah and that are unequivocal and undebatable within Torah, and you see that their absorption of ideas from the outside world has become such a fixed part of their experience of the world, they can't imagine any other way of thinking about it, of interpreting it, and because of that, they feel that they don't, I mean, in the case that I'm talking about, they feel they don't understand Torah, they feel they can't explain the Torah, and they have some kind of a faith issue with it. So here we're talking about a much broader one. It's not a question of faith so much, it's a question of, they just started to live a lifestyle of Akum. So if you believe, or you come to accept that the pagans around you are more sophisticated than you, and they understand the world better, and you come to accept that therefore you have to accept paganism, so the ability to get back to monotheism, get back to even the very first steps of worshipping Hashem, will be tremendously difficult, and that's true for lesser things as well. It's an uga bali hafucha. It's a cake that was supposed to be turned. It's supposed to be baked on all sides, meaning to have, I mean, in the metaphor, to have a sort of a multiple view of truth and of what has to go into making a fully true lifestyle and livelihood. And they don't do it. Pasuk tet achlu zarim kochov hu lo yada gam seva zareka bo vehu lo yada. And then what happens is they do all these things and they end up losing at war and losing their sovereignty, losing all the things that Hashem had given them, and they can't even see why it's happening to them. Because if you take a wrong premise and you get devoted to that premise, you can never get away from it. So, as Radak says, they don't know that it's because of their sins, and they don't know because of their sins because they don't even realize that it's a sin. They're unable to accept that it's a sin. And if you told them it was a sin, they wouldn't get it. And then, Gamsi Vazar Kabo, Radak points out, very often, when people get older, unfortunately, not always, but often when people get older, they come to have a better perspective of their lives and of the world, and they come to regret things that they did when they were younger. So that's tshuva. It's not as good tshuva as if they would understand when they were younger, but they come to people who are bad to their children will reconcile with their children. People who did various financial things wrong will come to understand that it was wrong and they'll regret it, etc. So here the phrase of Gam Seva Lo Zarkava V'Hulo Yada is saying that in the case of Ephraim, it's not true. They're reaching, in the Radak's reading of it, they're reaching the end, the old age of their existence, of their kingship, kingdom, kinghood, whatever the right word would be. And they're not coming to the realization that ordinarily old people manage to come to. Pasuk Yud. V'anag Gaon Yisrael b'fanav v'lo shavu el Hashem elokehem v'lo bikshuhu b'chol zot. So v'anag Gaon Yisrael b'fanav means that the spirit of the Jewish people will answer for them, right? Their pride, I'm sorry, their pride is going down, and not going to be spelled b'fanav, and that should have led them to realize that they're doing wrong. Right? It's already true that they're losing out, and that they're not as powerful as they once were, and they don't have the wherewithal that they once had, and that should have been an indication that they're doing something wrong. See, that's a key proposition within Navi that's rejected in our times for sure. That the downfall of the Jewish people having times of trouble and having times of crisis, is supposed to be understood as a sign that there's something the Jewish people are doing wrong. So defining what it is a whole problem of its own, because very often people don't like the answer that somebody gives for why it's happening. But the premise that's not even accepted anymore is that the existence of problems, the existence of trouble, is a sign that something in the Jewish people is going wrong. So that's a premise that's not even accepted today, but that's something that's coming up here as well, and that's what V'anagol B'Yisrael B'Fanav means. That it's supposed to be saying to them, look, see, you're falling down, you're having troubles, it's a sign you're not doing the right thing, and yet they don't turn to Hashem, and they don't try to find Hashem, and they don't try to see what's going on. Ephraim kiyona pota elev, and Ephraim became like a dove that goes into a trap without ever realizing that there's a trap there. Mitzrayim karav asher alach, when they're only fixed on turning to Mitzrayim for help, turning to Ashur for help, turning to these human allies for assistance. Kasher yilechu efros alehem rishti, kof ashalayim oridim, aisireim kishema la'adatam. So when they go there, when they're trying to get to Egypt, into Ashur for help, Hashem says, I'm going to capture them in my net, and I will bring them down like birds of the sky, and then aisireim kishema la'adatam. I will punish them, I will rebuke them, it will bring upon them Yisurim. Yisurim, I'm going to punish them, I'm going to bring times of trouble upon them, and then maybe they will begin to learn their lesson. Kishem Latam Rashi says, this is a reference to way in the future when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, so they want to go, the people come to Yirmiyahu, and they say to Yirmiyahu, should we go to Egypt or should we stay in Israel? And there's a whole discussion there, and there's a whole time, and then he comes back, he says to them, stay in Israel. And they say, no, we're going to go to Egypt anyway. And then when they get to Egypt, they start worshipping things that the Egyptians worship, and Yirmiyahu tells them not to, and they say, no, you're wrong, because from the time that we stopped worshipping the sun, that's when we started having all of our problems. So it's just an example of the difficulties of getting them to understand and to see what they're supposed to be doing, because that's even after the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed. And not only had the Beit HaMikdash been destroyed, but they had come back to Yirmiyahu in that instance, and they had said to him, whatever you do, we'll say. So, I don't try that hard, but I try somewhat not to do too much self-promotion, but it is true that by the time you're listening to this tape, I'm very hopeful that a book that I've written called Cassandra Misreads the Book of Samuel will be out and available either on Amazon or by contacting me at grothst@gmail.com. And one of the things that I try to point out in the book is, in some of the stories, is to give examples of how hard it can be for people to realize that they've gone wrong and to see it. And that people walk around feeling like they're right, and they're doing the right thing, and they're good people. And to break through that self-delusion is not so clear. So one of the examples is certainly this event with Yirmiyahu, where they come to Yirmiyahu, the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed, they come to him, they say to him that we'll do whatever you tell us. And then he tells them what he hears eventually, what he hears from Hashem. 10 days later, he hears a nevuah from Hashem. And they say, no, you're lying, you're not telling the truth, you're not saying what Hashem really said to you. So that, Rashi takes that this as a reference to that incident, and it's pointing out what's going on here, and what's going on in other stories of the book as well, that all throughout Navi, what you see is that people get into a way of thinking about the world, get into a way of thinking about what it means to relate to Hashem and how one relates to Hashem, and they become so enveloped in that way of seeing it that no matter how accurate, how convincing the Navi, how truthful the Navi, they are unable to get away from their own perspectives. And that's, I think, a deep challenge of these psukim and of Navi in general, of knowing when and how we have to turn away from our own way of seeing the world and accept a different way of seeing the world. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Oy lahem ki nadidu mimeni, shod lahem ki fashuvi, v'anuchi efdeim v'heima divru alai kizavim. He says it's terrible for them, for straying from me, for leaving what I said to do. Right? Why are they going to do me many? Showed lahem, and it's going to be lead to them being destroyed and having times of trouble and having times of destruction because they pashubi, they rejected me, they didn't follow what I said. I wanted to, Rashi points out, I wanted to be poded them, I wanted to redeem them. They spoke falsehoods about me, they spoke falsehoods about what I was doing for them and to them. And to go on, with that idea, they didn't turn to me in their hearts. They're lying on their beds crying. They're upset. They're looking for more wine and more grain, and they don't pay attention to me. They don't turn towards Hashem. They don't look for Hashem. They don't seek Hashem. They get involved in those physical pleasures and just wrapping themselves and enjoying. Radak says on Loza, they didn't turn towards me. Radak says not only they didn't, it's they didn't believe that I would hear them, which is an even lower level of faith. And they're thinking about what's bad, they don't think about anything that's better than what they've done to me. What bad is, they don't have the kind of grain, they don't have the kind of crops and economy that they want. So, not to be too practical, but I think again, you have many, many Jews today, even those who are observant, who, if you scratch the surface, are certainly more concerned with whether or not they will be financially stable and their family will be healthy than they are with the status of their Avodat Hashem. And they don't put the finances or the health of the family into the context of Avodat Hashem, which is where it's supposed to go. Pasuk Tedvav, Ani Yisar, Tichizak, Tizra'otam, Re'elai Chashivura. But Hashem says, I was the one who was trying to strengthen them. I was the one who, when it was good for them and they were strong, I was trying to help them understand what it meant to stay strong and how it would be that you would earn the right to stay powerful and healthful and all those things. And they turn, they think of it as evil on my part. They think of it as that I'm just bad and mean and wrong to them, as you hear people today very often speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. And they say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just punishes and is always, you know, easy, is ready to, he's got an itchy trigger finger, is ready to, has a quick readiness to punish. And then the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Dalet Amud Aleph reads this pasuk and says it's also Hashem complaining because Hashem is saying I'm also doing them a favor because by giving them the punishments in this world, I'm helping them avoid punishments in the next world, so that our whole status, our whole experience, is supposed to be one of thanks and gratitude, and instead it's one of complaints. So Tedzayin Yeshuvu Lo Al Hayukakesh Remiya Yivlu Bacherev Sarehem Mizam Lishonam Zolagam Ve'Eret Mitzrayim. So then when they come back, they've been of no use, is what the pasuk says, literally. Right? They haven't fulfilled their function, they haven't done what they were supposed to do. Kishtavul ha-matzara, the Radak says, yeshivu lizokel ha-akum lo elai. So, you give them the Yisurim are supposed to teach them, the right way to go, and yet it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because they have the Yisurim, but they call out to the wrong person, to the wrong deity, for salvation. They call out not to Hashem, who is actual deity, but to these fake ones. They're like a bow and arrow that doesn't work well, right? That doesn't have the right tension in order to be able to shoot the arrows in the proper way.